A reading from Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Spiritual warfare is a real struggle for Christians. Paul talks about the struggle between flesh and spirit all over his epistles. But this warfare also includes Satan and his demons chipping away at our faith, too. Now, I've never been much of a fan for horror movies in general, but especially those that make light of the demonic realm, because they tend to over-exaggerate spiritual warfare to entertain folks, and by extension, they make lots of money. But I don't like them because that's not what spiritual warfare looks like in our contexts. Things falling off the walls or people levitating or anything like that. Satan is more concerned about leading us astray from faith, not trying to just simply scare us. Satan's duped our society into seeing demons as entertainment and a cheap thrill and possibly something that doesn't really exist at all. Not a reality which tempts the flesh to resist the spirit. Satan is subtle, and his attacks are against your faith. His ammunition is the desires of your own flesh. That's what Paul warns this church in Galatia about. Paul writes this letter to them to tell the faith that they have in Christ. And if that's faith by which, and it's that faith by which they're justified. False teachers had crept into the Galatian church, teaching that Christians were justified by the works of the Jewish law, like circumcision or other ceremonial laws. In our epistle lesson, Paul encourages them to live their Christian lives not by the law, but by the gospel, walking by the Spirit of God, not by their own sinful flesh. But the flesh is against a Christian who walks by the Spirit. Paul lists 15 desires of the flesh in his letter to the Galatians, and then he divides it into four different categories. So the first three deal with sexual sins, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. And these fleshly struggles are against the spirit because the body is treated as if it only exists to please itself. But God has created us, male and female, for marriage, between husband and wife. So walking by the Spirit means following the sixth commandment, leading a sexually chaste and decent life in what we say and do. The next set of sins also primarily dwell outside of the Galatian church context. Sins against true worship. These include idolatry and sorcery. These works of the flesh seek to dethrone God as creator and king. The flesh seeks idols which means going to something or someone else other than God for comfort in times of distress. The flesh seeks sorcery, meaning it seeks divine wisdom and strength from anyone in the spiritual realm except for the divine Trinity. Now, these two sets of sins, sexual sins and sins against true worship, primarily dealt with those outside the Galatian church. And they were in their surrounding city. But Paul then lists a set of sins that hit home within the family of God in Galatia. He lists things which display the selfishness of the flesh. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. These are the very opposite of love. They divide instead of unite. Yet the Galatian church struggled with honoring and loving their neighbor, especially as the Judaizers made inroads into their churches. And finally, Paul mentions the sins of excess, drunkenness, and orgies, which can also be understood as gluttony. The point is that the flesh wants what it wants and is never satisfied, nor is it content. After listing all these works of the flesh, Paul makes clear that whoever practices these things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because these works of the flesh divide. It pits us against God and us against each other, inside and outside the church. That's why fleshly works are against the Spirit, because the Spirit unites. The flesh promotes strife and division between humans, even as the Spirit binds people in unity and concord. The opposite of the desires of the flesh are love, joy, peace, patience, which can also be translated as long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit, and they propel us forward into holiness of living as the works of the flesh are excluded and hated by the new desires given by the Spirit. These fruits are not self-cultivated, as if this is the recipe of virtues that we need to develop within ourselves if we are to become the true Christians and finally win the war against the devil and the flesh. The war has already been won against the devil and against our sinful flesh, with Christ our Lord. And these fruits are cultivated and worked into us by God, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Rather, we are justified through faith in Jesus Christ. We have been set free from the bondage and curse of the law and its accusations, and God has sent His Spirit to dwell in us, leading and guiding us in Christian living, which flows from the cross of Christ. Because there, our fleshly desires have been crucified with Christ. So the fleshly desires have no power over those who are in Christ our Lord. That includes you. Because as many of you that have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. So now that you've died and been raised with Christ, the Spirit works its fruits in you. Love comes from us being first loved by God. And this godly love produces joy. Not a waning happiness that comes and goes, but an everlasting joy that you have peace with God and your brother and sister in Christ. This eternal peace with God and each other produces patience, also known as long-suffering, because we don't need to get what we want when we want it, because we already have everything worth having. Because we have the forgiveness of sins and life eternal through the cross. This patience leads to kindness as we tolerate the weaknesses of others, as we all strive to walk by the Spirit. This kindness leads to goodness in a generous way towards those undeserving of it. Much the way our Lord's goodness showers on us undeserving folk. Gentleness guides the character of the Spirit's goodness and kindness as we rejoice in godliness and not in evil. Finally, the Spirit gives self-control, empowering us to reject the desires of the flesh in favor of the Spirit, who wins the war for us. Christians live by the Spirit. Those outside the kingdom of God live by the flesh and under the curse of the law. But what if we fail? What if the works of the flesh bubble up from within us? What if we sin against the Spirit? Does the threat of not inheriting the kingdom of God apply? Paul doesn't mean that a single manifestation of fleshly desires will cast you out of the kingdom. Rather, Paul describes a pattern of behavior, an ongoing lifestyle. And this is extremely important when reading this text, because falling into temptation and sinning is one thing, but embracing sin and claiming it to be good is a very different thing. If you're distressed because you sense spiritual warfare within you, like you want to do right by God but find yourself falling into sin, take heart. That's not a sign that you're not a Christian. It's a sign that you are one. Remember, the Spirit is against the flesh. So that shows the Spirit is alive and well, guiding you to walk by Him and to reject the flesh. But when one experiences a perfect peace between flesh and Spirit, sensing no spiritual warfare at all, and you think you've already done everything God has asked you to do, that you're already doing everything God has asked you to do, I'd advise you to pinch yourself. Do you touch flesh? Are you alive and breathing? Has your flesh yet been perfected? Are you perfect? I would probably guess not. So if there's peace and no war between your flesh and the Spirit, it's time to take a look at yourself and ask why that is. So where do we go from here? Are we powerless in this war? The battle continues to rage on between flesh and Spirit. But those who walk by the Spirit are not overcome by Satan's temptations on their flesh, because Jesus has overcome Satan sin and death on the cross. The victory is his. And he shares that victory with us, giving his Spirit that we may walk in newness, holiness, righteousness, and life in his name eternally. So if works of the flesh pop up in your life, repent of them. Confess your sin. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive your sins and cleanse your works of the sinful flesh. God will restore you in your baptismal grace. He will crucify your fleshly desires and empower you with his Spirit to live as he has given you to live. And the Spirit will propel you forward into holiness of living. The Spirit takes the lead in the Christian walk and provides the empowerment to do so. Because our flesh is weak on its own. However, the Christian must determine to follow the Spirit's leading and guiding. Yes, you're saved by grace through faith. Your justification before God is a gift, and you passively receive it, doing nothing to deserve it. But there is an active role one must take in the realm of sanctification, living out of your justification. The Spirit creates the condition in God's people by which walking by the Spirit and rejecting the desires of the flesh takes place. And the condition you now have by which you are enabled and empowered to walk by the Spirit is your baptismal condition, where your fleshly desires have been crucified. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. You were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.